This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We were talking about Speaker of the House Paul Ryan earlier, or rather the absence of him from today's deals at the White House. Ryan represents the first congressional district in the great state of Wisconsin, a state where not too long ago the words factory job and middle class meant basically the same thing. But this isn't the same economy it used to be, and those factory workers have had to find new ways to get by as their jobs have gone elsewhere. That includes, in Wisconsin in particular, paper mill workers. In today's installment of our series about the goods and bads of globalization, Trade-Off, it's called, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner explains what happens when the global economy comes to the northern woods.
In 1892, Mark Van Stappen's grandfather started work in a new paper mill in Kimberly, Wisconsin. As in Kimberly-Clark Corporation, it built the mill and the town. Seven of Van Stappen's uncles worked at either that mill or others along the Fox River. And in 1979, he followed in their footsteps.
I started at the bottom on some horrendously hardworking jobs where you threw logs all day into grinders, you know. But it was kind of cool. It was all right. It was sort of therapeutic. It was an okay type of deal.
When the plant closed in 2008, Van Stappen and other workers stripped off a big chunk of paper from the last batch the mill produced and scribbled messages to the owners.
Well, you know, sell us to someone who cares. Make paper again. Make, you know, keep us as a community, all these sort of things, you know. A lot of course, is emotional driven, right?
A decade later, Van Stappen still keeps that scroll of paper in his basement. And the high school football team in Kimberly is still the papermakers. But since 2000, 19 paper mills in the state have closed. Paper companies here are battling two big global forces: cheap imports from places like China and Brazil, and the digital revolution. More e-readers and the like, the less demand for the high-quality book and magazine paper the state made. For Van Stappen, globalization got personal.
My wife was working part-time when I worked at the mill. And immediately she says, I have to go work full-time. I have to. We no longer have stability in our lives, you know?
Van Stappen's wife took a job at a company making envelopes, and he fell a couple rungs down the economic ladder. He'd been making $22 an hour with great health insurance, a 401k, 6 weeks vacation. His co-workers, many he'd known since high school, were his second family. That ended. Van Stappen took a job at a small green energy startup at a couple dollars an hour less, terrible health insurance, and a longer commute. His former co-worker, Andy Nerschel, briefly thought about going back to school to retrain for another career, but
I didn't especially care for school when I was in high school, so I wasn't looking at going back again. I tried a couple different paper mill jobs that I thought, but I didn't get hired at any.
After 8 months, Nerschel finally landed a job as a case manager for laid-off workers like himself. Around $8 an hour less, fewer benefits, and his wife, like Van Stappen's, had to find a full-time job. Americans love stories of people reinventing themselves. With a little government help, we can find other well-paid jobs in the industries of the future. But in reality, reinvention is really hard. In Wood County, 100 miles to the west of Kimberly, a speedboat races down the Wisconsin River. This was once called the hardest working river in America for all the paper mills and power plants along its banks. In 2008, a century-old mill here closed, and over 500 people lost their jobs. And not just any jobs, says workforce development exec Renee Daniels.
This was a population which had really, really high incomes for this community, and on average about $55,000 a year.
And with crazy overtime, even six figures was possible. Now, in rural Wisconsin, that goes a long way. A nice house, two cars, a snowmobile, college tuition, not a problem.
And we knew going in that it would be highly unlikely to replace those wages.
They didn't. But a survey showed that most workers did find new jobs and their wage losses weren't nearly as bad as expected. That said, 22% of the plant's workforce did not find new jobs or retired early. And surveys don't measure the confusion and self-doubt many veteran workers experience. Like, if only I'd been more productive, maybe the plant wouldn't have closed. Or, gee, now you want me to learn PowerPoint? Connie Tomsky-Favel used to teach Microsoft Office to dislocated workers who went back to school.
They have this computer sitting in front of them. They think they're going to break it. They're convinced that it's going to blow up or start on fire or something. So we usually have to break through that barrier first.
Laid-off workers can get government assistance to retrain for new careers. That could be a couple years of vocational school or even remedial education. But the support can vary. Jeff Pearl lost his job as an engineer at a paper company in Wisconsin Rapids. Since then, he started his own firm. Pearl remembers a former mill worker who'd retrained at the local technical college and then applied to be a draftsman at his firm.
And unfortunately, they only start about $15 an hour here. And he was just quite appalled. Like, I can't afford to live like that. I felt bad having to break this news to the gentleman that even though he might have 30 or 40 years of machine experience, he doesn't have any experience as a draftsperson to come to work for us.
Retraining doesn't always pay off as handsomely as people hope, and sometimes it steers people into the wrong jobs. Workers aren't like pegs you can simply punch into holes where there's market demand. Jim Golombeski heads the Bay Area Workforce Development Board in Green Bay. He says, take the ever-popular jobs in healthcare solution.
Not everybody wants to work with blood and bedpans. Not everybody can easily shift over, say, to truck driving. That's a tough lifestyle. So you can't just take people and say, well, there's a lot of jobs over here, so you should go after that, because they may not have the interest or the aptitude or even the stomach to do some of that kind of work.
Or the education and risk-taking spirit to go into business for themselves, like Pearl. The pick-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps mentality is strong here. Some even view assistance for dislocated workers as a handout or resent former mill workers because they made good money. Former case manager Corey Anfinson.
There's a good portion of the community who would say, well, they were mill workers. They need to see what it's like to live like the rest of us, you know, at my $9 an hour job.
Again, globalization gets personal. Still, judgment from neighbors aside, the majority of laid-off mill workers here have stayed. In that survey of former mill workers, 80% still lived within 15 miles of their old job. Mark Van Stappen, the fellow who lost his when the mill in Kimberley closed, he says he never once thought about leaving his home in the Fox River Valley. He was already 48 at the time and thought, this is it.
You know, I'm going to fish and I'm going to hunt in here in my environment where I'm at.
Van Stappen's extended family and lifelong friends are all here. If I move, he says, I have nothing to grab onto. In Neenah, Wisconsin, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.